Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, brought to you by Money Magazine, creating financial freedom for Australians since 1999.
Happy New Year, everyone. Welcome to the Friends with Money podcast, your weekly pod to help you save and make more money. My name is Michelle Baltazar. I'm the editor-in-chief here at Money Magazine. Thank you for joining us. It's the first week of the first month of the new year. What better way to kick it off than to talk about our New Year's resolutions and how to keep them? The odds are definitely against us, with research stating that only 1 in 5 manage to keep their New Year's resolution. In fact, many of us give up within a week or within 6 weeks at most. But despite these odds and all the excuses in the world, some resolutions are definitely worth keeping, especially when it comes to our finances. To talk us through how to do exactly that is CommBank personal finance expert and author Jess Irvine. She published a new book late last year called The Money Diary, which is a workbook-style full-year calendar with 12 months of spending, tracking sheets, and exercises to help everyone get their finances in shape in the new year. I think by the end of this, I'm hoping that I get to keep my own New Year's resolutions. Jess, thank you for joining us.
Happy New Year, Michelle.
Yay!
We can still say that for a little while at least.
I think so. This month, it's all about everything new. New year, new me, new you.
New you, same me, same you, but a little bit better, a little bit shinier maybe.
hopefully. Now, we want to talk about resolutions, but I think what would work is if we break it down to the three types of resolutions. One, the resolutions that I think you only need to follow through for a week, and that could make such a big change to your financial situation, for example. Then maybe we can talk about resolutions that you really want to kind of strive to keep for the rest of the year. And then finally, being realistic, let's talk about resolutions that would never work. How does that sound?
That sounds perfect.
All right. Okay. So the short-term resolutions. So what are the kinds of things that we can do to kind of improve our finances this year that you only really need to do for, like, let's say a short time period, like a week or a month?
Yeah, this is a perfect place to start because this is one of the New Year's resolutions that I have previously set for myself and is one that I stuck to, and I stuck to in the long term as well, which is just committing to write down everything you spend for a week. Literally force yourself to grab a piece of paper and every time you spend the money, just noting it down without judgment of that decision necessarily, but just getting it down on paper and beginning to be aware and become an observer of your spending habits. And I've been tracking my spending now for multiple years, but it really, if you've never done this before, please, please, please let this be your New Year's resolution. It's not too late to just say for a period of 1 week, every time I buy the coffee, I'm buying the lunch, the groceries, you know, the bills that are coming out, I'm going to commit to become more aware of where my money is going. Have you ever done that, Michelle?
I love it. Yes, I have. I've gone through torture of checking all my expenses for a month. I am not afraid of Excel spreadsheets, Jess. So I have looked at transferring all my banking transactions. You know, you can do that with your app. You put it on a spreadsheet and do it that way. It is very confronting, I'm not going to lie. And it does make me realize that all these expenses that I think, oh, it's an occasional expense, but I do it every week, you know, those kind of things. And I'm very generous when it comes to gift giving, for example. But then it can be quite confronting when you look at how many gifts you give over 3 months and you go, my goodness, that is a big chunk of money.
Yeah. And I think there are those realizations that you have when you track spending that maybe people want to avoid having. And it's, yeah, it's very hard for me to convince people that you can do this in a way where you don't judge yourself. You just observe what's going on, because these are the facts of your life. You are spending this money. It's going to have a direct impact on your financial outcomes. And sort of the head in the sand approach, you know, you might feel comfortable, but it's going to make you uncomfortable in the long term. And just sort of ripping the Band-Aid off and having a track and having a look at your money. Just do a week. Just promise me everyone could try just 1 week.
Just a week. So
just 1 week.
Wednesday to Tuesday. Let's see what happens over the weekend, right? That is when things start to kind of ramp up. But I like what you've said there, where it's really just being aware of your spending, right?
Yeah.
And not being judgmental.
I call this budgeting. Budgeting to me is just becoming aware of your household incomings and outgoings and figuring out whether you're in surplus or deficit. And people think budgeting is about restriction and setting limits for yourself. And I must not do this. You know, I vow this year I will not spend money on X. But it really shouldn't be about that. You shouldn't be punishing yourself with your budget. It should just be an awareness tool that helps you and doesn't hinder you.
And I have a feeling that when you do this exercise, then you get to answer that question that we all ask ourselves, you know, a week after payday, like, where did my money go?
Exactly. And if you have longer term goals that you want to work towards, this is going to give you the information that you need. You know, how much can you save in a week? Because you know what is that surplus that you're producing or not in a given week or fortnight. Really powerful.
Yeah, so be aware. Now let's move on to what are the kind of resolutions that really, even if it's a struggle, that you should try and follow through for the entire year?
Yeah, look, I mean, it depends on your personal circumstances, I guess, but I do urge anyone who's maybe carrying some of that high debt, you know, credit cards or, you know, loans with high interest rates. I always say it is, you know, again, people can be very reticent to sort of even want to know about those things. But trying to come up with a plan, a long-term plan for the year where you say, I do want to pay off X amount off the credit card. I've got 12 months in the year. I'm going to chunk it down. I'm going to start sort of committing to how much it can be per week that I might have on an auto transfer. So it's about setting those longer-term money goals, which are, you know, we know what they are, you know, paying down the debts, which, you know, aren't secured against an appreciating asset, you know, at saving money. Maybe you're topping up your super, maybe you're saving for the first home deposit. They're long-term goals. And so at the start of the year, we want to come out the gates really strong and sort of go, I'm going to buy a house or I'm going to, you know, pay off all the credit card debt. It is about sort of sitting down and once you have the awareness of, you know, where your money's going, how much you might feasibly or realistically be able to save each week or each fortnight, and setting up a system for yourself where in some sort of automated way you are every fortnight, every payday, whatever it is, putting aside a little bit of your money that's going to put you closer to the money goals that you want to achieve. And I always say a good money goal is a dream with a price tag and a deadline. So, you know, you want to pay off one of those credit cards. What's the date that you want to do it by? And then work backwards to say, well, here's how much I need to be transferring each, you know, pay period to achieve that goal. So I do think it is worth people sitting down at this time of year and thinking, what are some of those money goals that I want to take into 2024 that are going to help me? And it is usually around paying down the debts, you know, building up the savings.
And are there any kind of stretch goals? I feel like we're doing like a performance review here. What is a stretch goal? But here at Money, we are big proponents of making sure your credit score is high, that you're considering refinance. And I think saying that and giving someone that kind of 12-month period feels realistic rather than saying, you got to do it now.
Yeah, I love that. Maybe I sort of talk about it in terms of financial hygiene. What are the things that we know we should be doing? We should be reviewing the insurances at least sort of every 12 months. We should be checking the super balances and knowing that we know what's our asset allocation within the super. So maybe there are some of those more one-off type things that you say in 2024, I'm going to look at my super statement and figure out if my, you know, risk allocation is appropriate for my age, or I'm going to use one of the comparison sites and make sure that I know that I'm in a fund that's going to perform for me, or at least not underperform for me. Can you think of any other of those good sort of financial hygiene ones, Michelle?
For me, it's definitely just making sure that you also look after yourself, like self-care. Like, I'm big on holiday planning, so I will book my travel well ahead of time, but that also means I'm also saving for it. So you kind of extend the excitement of the upside of, you know, like earning an income on a regular basis. And it's not just about addressing all the grown-up issues of being, you know, of being financially healthy or financially confident, but also all the good stuff about living life, right?
I love that. And something that I do as part of my, I budget by calendar year, and I've already sat down and I've decided for this year, how much money do I want to spend on my holidays? How much do I want to spend on giving gifts for my friends? Because I love being generous and I enjoy doing that. So I know that I'm working towards the target of how much money I have to give away to my friends for birthday presents and that sort of thing. And yeah, so it's not always about sort of punishing yourself or thinking, oh, I must be, you know, saving for the very important things. We're allowed to enjoy our lives as well. And that's a really good point, to bring that fun and that joy element into it too when you're thinking about your money.
Exactly. Now, before we get to the third and final question on resolutions, I know that you've spoken to a lot of people about managing their personal finances. You yourself, you've been very candid in public about your own journey. But why is it so hard for us to stick with, you know, our finance resolutions?
Well, I think it's the human instincts that we all have. We love pleasure today, and it is just hard as human beings to think, I'm going to forego this, you know, pleasure that I could have today to save for something for future me. In one of my first book, Money with Jess, I sort of had an exercise where I tell people to visage or use even a face altering app where you generate a picture of yourself as an older person, and you sort of begin to make it real to yourself that, you know, there's a future version of you who is going to, you know, enjoy life hopefully as much as you are today. And it's sort of your responsibility to look after that future version of yourself as well. But as human beings, we have such a hard time doing that. And I just think money as a topic is so taboo, and we've somehow it's become very opaque and scary for people. We don't like to talk about it. We don't talk about money with our friends. But we should on the Friends with Money podcast.
Yes.
I think we need to all help each other. It's, you know, budgeting, you know, spending less than you earn, investing the rest. Those rules don't change. Mm-hmm. We all know what to do, but it's finding those habits in our daily lives where we can actually implement them can be a bit of a challenge, and it's definitely worth a bit of time at this time of year to sit down and go, what am I working towards, and what are those, even those small habits that I can do that can help get me there?
Yes. I hope we have listeners out there who are saying to themselves, well, Jess, that was me in 2023. It's 2024 now. I'm done with my bad money habits.
I fixed it. Yeah.
All right. So to wrap up, so we talked about being aware. We talked about making sure that you maintain good financial hygiene. Finally, being realistic, what are the resolutions that just won't work?
I think resolutions that are sort of shame-based or too restrictive. So you say, I'm not going to spend money on X, or I'm never going to go out and buy coffee. I'm never having avocado on toast again. Those sort of overly restrictive resolutions, you know, I'm never going to eat a pastry again, you know, or even ones that are just unrealistic. So I have in the past set a lot of fitness related goals as well. You know, I must go to the gym 4 or 5 times a week. If that's not realistic for you, you know, it just becomes a bit of a millstone around your neck. You're not going to want to do it. So, I mean, it comes back to those good old fashion smart goals, you know, being specific, measurable, achievable is the A, you know, something that is achievable for you that's relevant to your life and time bound. So I think the worst resolutions are just something where you try to imagine yourself into a completely different version of who you actually are. Mm. And that can lead you, that sets you up for failure. And it's sort of, you're punishing yourself. You're thinking, I need to change. And it's really, it's not about that. It's about some of my behaviors might need to change. Some of my micro actions could maybe be better, but you don't need to change radically your whole personality. And if you go into it trying to do that, you know, you're not going to want to stick to it. A good financial resolution should be something that is, yeah, achievable and, you know, doesn't overwhelm you. So if you, and I think you can tell just by your gut, if you write something down and you look at it and you go, that's yeah. probably too much of a stretch, and just cut it right back to small little things like the tracking, the spending, you know, like finding the ways to spend money in ways that bring you joy. I think that's where you want to put your attention this time of year.
And I really hate non-committal resolutions. Like you kind of go, yeah, I'll try to save some money this year. Like it's just too vague. Like you said, I think the specificity of any goals just make them more likely to manifest or become real, right?
Yeah, one of the resolutions I set for myself one year was buy a house. It was just so overwhelmingly large, you know, that you have to micro chunk it down into, and eventually I did chunk that down into, I'm going to walk into a bank or I'm going to go see a lender and ask how much I can borrow. Like you need to find a step that's actually achievable. Or if you've got the big dream, you know, I want to go on holiday next year to Europe. You need to sort of chunk it down and look at, you know, do some research how much it's going to cost, you know, chunking everything down so that you've got some little steps, you know, eat the elephant one slight bite at a time.
Yes. And, you know, I don't even know when you say buy a house, is it a 2-bedroom house? Is it a 6-bedroom house? It, like you said,
exactly.
Like making sure you kind of really be very specific about what you're trying to achieve.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, I'm feeling really comfortable about that. I myself will resolve to definitely use the money diary to help me out. I'm very visual, so and writing it down is also helpful for me when I'm trying to achieve my own goals. So once again, thank you for joining us, Jess. Really great tips there.
No worries, and good luck to everyone with their resolutions. I do think they are worth giving a crack, but just go easy on yourself in terms of how hard you try to set them to be.
Yes, and no money shaming, no money shaming.
No money shame. We're all doing our best.
Exactly. Now, before you go, don't forget that if you enjoy listening to the Friends with Money podcast, we'd love for you to recommend it to your own friends and family, or you can help us out by leaving a review on iTunes or the Apple Podcast app. You can also send in any questions, comments, or even topics that you'd like us to cover. Maybe we want to get Jess in and see how she's going with her New Year's resolutions halfway through the year. And email us on podcast@moneymag.com.au. Finally, make sure you head over to moneymag.com.au for all the latest financial news and stories. That's it for this episode. I'm Michelle Baltazar. Bye for now.
Thanks for listening to the Friends with Money podcast. For credible, independent, and easy to understand financial commentary, visit moneymag.com.au. Please remember that the views and opinions expressed in this podcast are general in nature, and further independent advice and research based on your personal circumstances should be sought before making an investment decision.